When a human hand first raised a shard of slate to carve a mark on an ancient cave wall, the world was changed, and our minds were changed forever, because each new tool has changed the way we think. Some would say that it was a slate or writing implement that was the tool that made the greatest impact. But there really is a greater tool. The greater tool is the system that enabled that human to represent thought symbolically, to understand that thought can be held outside of the mind, recorded for reflection, or to share with others. The tool of symbolic representation is what we call a cognitive tool, a tool to help us think, reflect, discuss, problem solve, create, a tool to make us smarter. There are many in education who would say that we have used one of our most recent tools, the computer, well as a tool, but not so well as the cognitive tool it can be. We discussed the concept of scaffolding in our framework video, and we'll layer on the concept of cognitive tools here. When we create the conditions for our students to develop cognitive tools, then we are scaffolding instruction, because they will then be able to stretch, to reach new levels of performance that they were unable to reach before. More so, when students add cognitive tools to their personal learning toolbox, then they can begin to gain insights into their personal learning styles and how they can negotiate and control the conditions under which they learn best. And competence engenders confidence and breeds independence. Literacy researcher James G. has written about a fascinating study he's done with a special kind of independent learner, children who play video games. If you know children who are growing up digital, then you have probably seen how engaged and absolutely brilliant many of them can be at playing video games. G encourages us to take the learning from these games seriously, because playing video games takes a special kind of literacy and is a good example of why we need to broaden the way we think of literacy for 21st century learning and teaching. Beyond the traditional view of literacy as reading and writing text, we need to realize that in the 21st century, language is not the only important communication system. Images, both static and moving, symbols, graphs, diagrams, artifacts, and many other visual symbols are significant. The beauty of expanding our definition to include visual literacy is that we are not only preparing our students to thrive in our image-dominated culture, but images can help us provide additional cognitive tools for learners. More and more, our young readers are experiencing texts that are multimodal, or mix words and images, with each type of symbol contributing something different, but important to the mix. And to read the world of the 21st century effectively, our young readers must be literate, even beyond images and words, to sounds, music, movement, and many other sensations. G used video games to develop 36 principles of literacy learning, three of which are vital for this module on developing independent learners. Principle 1, active, critical learning. All aspects of the learning environment are set up to encourage active and critical, not passive learning. Principle 20, multimodal. Meaning and knowledge are built up through various modalities, images, text, symbols, interactions, abstract design, sound, and others, not just words. Principle 21, material intelligence. Thinking, problem solving, and knowledge are stored in material objects and the environment. This frees learners to engage their minds with other things while combining the results of their own thinking with the knowledge stored in material objects and the environment to achieve a yet more powerful effect. Those of us realizing the need to make more reminder lists and keep PDAs handy are certainly aware of the values of looking to external storage for data so we can save our minds to deal with the more challenging problems. In G's three principles, you have the key for developing independent learners and the rationale for why we need cognitive tools, tools that make us smarter and extend our reach by helping us create products of our thinking and knowledge to manipulate and work with. These principles fit perfectly with our literacy to learn framework and its underlying constructivist theory of learning. Children use cognitive tools to become more independent and construct their own knowledge and understanding. Seymour Papert calls this approach to learning constructionism because of the need for students to create or construct tangible artifacts for learning. Learning by making, he calls it, and suggests that computers used as cognitive tools can offer new ways for children to engage in experiences that are learning rich. When we learn with computers, then in a sense, we are entering into an intellectual partnership with the computer, and our payback is enhanced thinking and learning. The computer is not a teacher, but a mind extender. Planning, decision-making, self-regulation of learning are still the responsibility of the learner, but the computer can serve as a powerful catalyst for facilitating these skills if they are used to promote reflection, discussion, and problem-solving. Papert also reminds us of the importance of teachers learning alongside students. It's good for both the students and the teachers. Students who see their teachers daring to take risks and eager to learn new things have excellent role models. And teachers who learn alongside their students feel the constant challenge to learn and grow and keep up with their young technology whizzes. Maybe that's one of the true values of technology. It keeps us green and growing. Meg Millard and Kristen Bedell are two of the most independent learners you'll ever meet. Neither is a technology whiz, but both have complete confidence in their students to troubleshoot and problem solve. Meg teaches a fourth, fifth grade combination, and Kristen is a fifth grade teacher. They structure their classroom so that students are challenged to be active and critical learners who work in a multiplicity of modes. Both of them have learned to make the most of classroom websites as not only instructional tools, but as cognitive tools. Their students are constantly using these websites as products of their learning that they share with each other and with their wider community audience. Meg is the first teacher I've ever seen who has work on class website under reading writing workshop on the daily schedule. And Kristen builds her classroom community around a government structure, so the children learn important lessons in becoming independent and responsible citizens now and in the future. Their classroom website is a vital means of communication in this budding democracy. In these literature-rich classrooms, children explore, delight, and manipulate both print and visual languages to publish relevant information about their living and learning together as a community. They read and write to communicate with each other and with their site's audience. Their websites include book reviews, class projects, interviews, opinion polls, and of course, the daily tortures of homework assignments. The hallmarks of the Reading Writing Workshop are that children are given extended opportunities to read and write, have a great deal of ownership and choice in their reading and writing, and spend a lot of time engaged in reading and writing and responding to the reading and writing of others. Children think about how they are reading and writing and learning so they can become proficient, confident, critical, and independent readers and writers. You see this metacognitive focus as students use computers to produce a multimodal representation of their classroom, what they're learning, what's important to them, what they care about. These websites serve as tangible evidence of reading and writing and designing, of how these students are learning to communicate in multimodal ways. One of the most telling and enjoyable parts of this mini-documentary we'll see first is how the two boys, who were determined to construct a quiz, used the computer as a cognitive tool for problem-solving. It's also a great example of teachers learning alongside their students. Students constructing their class websites is a powerful way for students to learn to communicate, to reflect, and create a highly visible product of their learning. In our second mini-documentary, you'll see a different approach to integrating technology to develop independent readers, writers, and thinkers. Maureen Keller is applying an approach that teaches children to conduct inquiry into real-world problems using resources that include print, electronic, and interviews with experts. It's the well-known Jamie McKenzie research model. McKenzie developed this model because he believes that it's really vital that kids learn not to depend solely on the web for their research needs. There's that danger because the web makes it far too easy. A teacher told a story recently about how her students were doing research on the internet in her classroom when they lost their connection. This resourceful teacher said, "No problem, we'll finish our research in the library." One of the students asked quizzically, "But won't the internet be down there too?" That's why we need to develop this three-pronged research approach that Maureen and her students demonstrate so well. Maureen scaffolds this research process very carefully. One of the cognitive tools she teaches students to use is mapping, and they use a well-known tool called inspiration, or in this case, kidspiration. Whether generated by computer or sketched out with crayon, concept mapping, a kind of graphic organizer, provides a visual representation of a way to make connections, and in this case, work from an essential question to develop underlying questions. The essential question is one that requires active, critical thinking. As students research, should the red wolf be reintroduced to North Carolina? This process is active, requires critical learning, multimodal in nature, resulting in tangible material things that store our thinking and free us to think more deeply and creatively, what we're calling cognitive tools. As one of the young men confirms, this is a great way to learn. From a carving on a cave wall to codes of light on a computer screen, ultimately, as each new tool has changed the way we humans think, each new tool that a child learns to use changes the way she thinks and gives her more insight into how she can learn in this 21st century.